This is Dr. Pedro Ramirez, Editor-in-Chief of the International Journal of Gynecological Cancer. Today, I have the great pleasure of interviewing Dr. Ana Fagotti, who is faculty at the Fondazione Policlinico Universitario Agostino Gemelli in Rome, Italy. Welcome, Ana.
Hello, everybody. It's a great pleasure to be with you and Pedro regarding discussing this interesting topic.
So, Ana, tell us about the principle of the laparoscopic evaluation of patients with advanced ovarian cancer.
As you all know, ovarian cancer has mainly spread within the abdomen. This is one of the major reasons for unresectability and one of the major reasons for worse prognosis in these patients. So we decided to assess diffusion of disease by a minimal invasive access in order to be as reliable as possible in giving information regarding diffusion of disease.
Ana, can you just give us an overview on how a patient with advanced ovarian cancer is evaluated and managed today at your center, given your prolonged history of contributing to the literature on this particular topic of the laparoscopic assessment of patients with advanced ovarian cancer?
I'm particularly happy to discuss with all of you this topic because I think that each of all the possibilities we have to assess one patient should be considered within a different environment, which means that in different countries we may have different situations which lead us to use different approaches. So usually in our institution, first of all, we assess patients from a clinical point of view, which means performance status and nutritional status, for example, and so on. Second point is imaging, which considers thorax and abdomen as first steps in order to assess extra-abdominal presence of extra-abdominal metastases and resectability of such metastases. The third point is then laparoscopy. So all patients actually receive all these three different evaluations. Then the final conclusion is made considering these three different approaches. The reason is that in our institution, we still receive patients from outside the hospital and outside the city. So actually, it's very difficult to have access for everybody to a standardized imaging and revision of the images. So we take advantages from each assessment in order to give the best evaluation for the patient.
And Ana, you mentioned the imaging and how important that might be. Can you tell us, in your mind, what do you think is the ideal imaging for evaluation of a patient with presumed advanced ovarian cancer? Do you focus primarily on CT scans, or do you focus on PET CT or any other modality?
Okay, again, it's very different to say what's the best for me and what's the most used for me, because I think that in the future we should focalize on DVI MRI. I think it's a technique which can improve a lot the assessment of these patients, and we have to focus and work on it in order to make it much more spread, available for patients, and have doctors able to correctly save and read the images. Anyway, as in most of the countries, actually, we use a CT scan with contrast by IV contrast and by mouth.
Now, jumping to the actual laparoscopic assessment, I know that you have published on the predicted index value and the score. One of the questions that often comes up is, should we rely on your initial evaluation of the score of 8 above or below versus 10 in determining which patients should undergo surgery versus neoadjuvant chemotherapy?
Again, I'm very happy to discuss with you on this topic because I receive several times this kind of question. So we decided to shift from one score to the other because our ability in surgery was growing up as in every place all over the world, and also because there was a change in the goal of surgery from less than 1 centimeter up to complete resection. So the differences between one score and the other are actually the assessment of mesenteral retraction, which has been taken out from the score, and the presence of miliary carcinomatosis on the small bowel. As you all know from different studies, one of the main reasons for not complete resection, and it's up to 80% of the cases, is the presence of carcinomatosis on the small bowel. So it depends on which is your endpoint. If your endpoint is to achieve complete resection, then these patients with miliary carcinomatosis should be taken out and the score should be the new one. On the other hand, if your endpoint is less than 1 centimeter, then you can take these patients inside and you will be able to achieve optimal cytoreduction.
And in the setting of evaluating these patients, certainly you measure the a number of parameters through the abdomen and pelvis. One of the questions that often comes up is, what if an area is adhered or blocked by tumor that I cannot assess? In other words, that I can't determine whether I can give that patient a particular score. How do you deal with those patients, and what should we score those areas?
So I think we can shift the question into two points. One is that there are, of course, some inaccessible areas by laparoscopy, which are intraparenchymal metastasis or lymph nodal metastasis, retroperitoneal disease. And of course, you need imaging in order to assess the presence of this kind of diffusion. On the other hand, there might be some situation and some conditions in which you cannot assess some intraperitoneal sites of disease, and in this case the score is always zero, which means that the model was built in order to avoid neoadjuvant chemotherapy in those patients who may still receive primary debulking surgery. That means it's a protective model in which you may have a high rate of unnecessary laparotomies, but in this way we protect patients and we offer primary debulking surgery to the majority of cases.
And then one of the topics that have come up in this evaluation is whether this assessment should be done by a single surgeon versus multiple surgeons in order to avoid the bias from one unique surgeon. Can you give us your thoughts on whether the assessment should be done by one or multiple surgeons, and what's actually done in your institution?
I'm grateful for these questions because we really appreciated the effort from the MD Anderson, because actually at the beginning we did not realize that could be an issue, because we were living our own reality. But over the time and having new doctors coming into our institution, we realized that it's much better that this evaluation is done at least by two surgeons, and if there is a conflict, then a third surgeon will come inside.
Very well. Now, the question that often comes up, obviously, in any intervention is, does the scoring system and using the scoring system in your algorithm, does that impact overall survival or disease-free survival in patients with advanced ovarian cancer?
I can answer with two papers. One has been published last year in Journal of Clinical Oncology by the randomized control trial from the group of the Netherlands. They demonstrated there is no difference in terms of progression-free and overall survival between the two groups of patients randomized between laparoscopy versus primary laparotomy approach. On the other hand, I can say also, and we hope to publish the data in the next nice feature that even in our institution there is no difference with the other institutions in terms of median progression-free and overall survival in those patients who received laparoscopy and then were managed according to the score.
And why do you think that there is no difference?
I think there is no difference, in my opinion. You know, it's a very difficult question, but I think there is no difference because through this score, actually, we are able to identify those patients who probably will never reach complete site reduction. And the other point is that probably we will identify those patients who will have a very high tumor burden. And we know from the retrospective studies from the GOG that tumor burden is still a variable. independent predictive variable for prognosis.
Well, now shifting a little bit of gears with regards to the patient population, what about the patients that undergo neoadjuvant chemotherapy and often after either 3 or 6 cycles of therapy, one considers those patients ideal based on imaging responses to undergo interval cytoreduction? Is laparoscopy something that we should be using at that point? Is laparoscopy something that we should be using to proceed with the interval cytoreduction? What are your thoughts on that?
Sometimes we use laparoscopy at time of interval debulking surgery with different aims. In this specific case, I think it's useful for different reasons. For example, after 3 or 4 cycles of chemotherapy, we still have the feeling that the patient has responded, but really we don't know which kind of surgery she needs. And moreover, imaging techniques may fail again. Small bowel carcinomatosis on one side, but also for fibrosis related to chemotherapy effects. So I think it's a useful technique in order to decide whether or not these patients can receive interval debulking surgery, or if this patient can receive additional treatments, or even shift to different treatments after neoadjuvant chemotherapy.
In your institution, are you routinely doing laparoscopy prior to interval cytoreduction?
Not routinely, but in many patients. So selected patients, they receive a laparoscopy.
Now, can you tell us about any exciting trials that are either ongoing or about to start exploring the principle of a laparoscopic evaluation of patients with advanced ovarian cancer?
Yes, actually, we are very satisfied because we just concluded the enrollment of the Scorpion trial. I think we will have some interesting results regarding the role of laparoscopy in selecting patients toward primary debulking surgery or neoadjuvant chemotherapy. After this trial, the conclusion of this trial and publication of results, I hope we will give a contribution in this area. One of the main reason of discussion is that this can be considered another randomized trial like the others that have been published or like the others that are still ongoing. I think there is one major difference, which is a selection of patients through laparoscopy. So I think that the information that we will have from this trial really can give us the opportunity to better select women toward different treatments.
And for those in the audience who may not be familiar with the trial design of the Scorpion, can you just tell us a little bit about what patient population that might be and what were the objectives of that trial?
Patients were actually selected based on the score, based on the previous score, because the trial was designed at the time in which the previous score up to 8 was designed. And so patients with a score between 8 and 12 at time of laparoscopy and without distant metastasis outside the abdomen or with distant metastasis considered resectable at time of primary debulking surgery and with a good performance status were actually randomized between neoadjuvant chemotherapy and primary debulking surgery. We had two primary outcomes. The first one was morbidity, and the results have been already published. But here we demonstrated that, of course, morbidity related to surgery, early and late morbidities, were much higher in the group of PDS with respect to neoadjuvant chemotherapy. The second co-primary outcome was progression-free survival, and the results that we have recently presented demonstrate that there is no difference between neoadjuvant chemotherapy and PDS at progression-free survival in these patients. However, this was a superiority trial, so the results are negative. From a clinical point of view, I would say that both treatments are equally efficient in terms of progression-free survival, so the decision should be related to other assessment instead of just doing surgery or neoadjuvant chemotherapy.
Well, those are very interesting findings, and certainly those will contribute to the literature. Before we close, would you like to make any additional remarks?
No, I just want to thank all people who have worked on this topic in my institutions and all around the world, because I just want to say that we are doing our best not to save but to help patients with advanced ovarian cancer.
Well, Anna, we at the International Journal of Gynecological Cancer really thank you for your time and once again for your contribution to the field of gynecologic oncology. Thank you.
Thank you very much.